Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Faber. That was a wonderful song. I'm glad I'm going to a place where there's no more night. And thank God for that. I'm glad for heaven. Aren't you glad? I'm glad soon these burdens will be over and burdens will be lifted and there'll be no more sickness and there'll be no more sorrow and there'll be no more pain and there'll be no more heartaches. What a day that will be. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go back with me to the book of James, chapter number 5, and we'll look at verses 7 through 12 today, and we are going to be continuing a series about our burdens, the Christian and their burdens. I realize as a pastor, especially during this pandemic and all the pressure and all the perplexity and all the problems, folks are struggling. Folks are having a hard time analyzing everything, calculating everything. And some of you are discouraged. Some of you are distressed. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are distracted because of your struggle. I want to read these verses, if I could, from verses 7 to verse 12. As we continue to deal with this subject, the Bible said, be patient, therefore, brethren. Now he's talking to Christians. He ain't talking to lost people, he's talking to Christians. Unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient. As the farmer was patient in sowing the seed and waiting on the harvest, you need to be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall in the condemnation. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, as I come right now, I pray you'll help me preach like I've never preached before. I realize I'm dealing with a struggling people. There's people on this Sunday night, on this Memorial weekend, who are struggling. They're about ready to throw in the towel. God, help me to encourage them tonight. And I'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Our challenge in the book of James, there's a challenge. And the challenge is that we need to be spiritually mature. Now, I took you through the book of James and showed you the different areas that we need to be mature in. We talked about our battles. You're always going to have battles. I was talking to Brother Tyler about 8 years ago. I had the battle of my life My heart got really bad. I had some other pressures. I had some folks that were against me. And I was eyeball deep in battles. And you said, why didn't you fold? Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you stop? I didn't fold. I didn't stop. Because, see, I was mature before the battle. Let me give you some advice. Don't wait till you get in a hot battle to be mature in Christ. Then James talks about our Bible. Hey, to be a Bible student is very important. To study the Bible line upon line and precept on precept. See, spiritually immature Christians don't know how to handle the Bible. I'm talking to people right now. You don't read your Bible through. But another real sad thing is you never studied the Bible. It's bad enough you don't read. It's really bad when you don't study. Because you can't read without studying. See, we need to be Christians who study to show ourselves approved. And you know why you're so immature? You know why you're folding under pressure? Because you're not able to trust this. Because you don't know what this says. Somebody help me preach. There's such a neglect in our day of the Bible. We've got more study tools. We've got more things available. But we got less study than I've ever seen in my life. There's so many spiritually immature Christians, and simply it's because they don't have anything to fall back on. Then James talked about our beliefs. By the way, your beliefs will become strong because of your Bible. If you don't study the Bible, you're not going to have real strong beliefs, and you won't have real strong character. Somebody help me preach. That's why we see people folding their tents. Here's their own belief strong. There's some of you even wishy-washy about salvation. Salvation is by grace. I want to tell you, outfit, the Old Testament saints were saved by grace. The New Testament saints are going to be saved by grace. The tribulation saints will be saved by grace. And the millennial saints will be saved by grace. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible tells us. Then James covers our behavior. By the way, you won't have good behavior if you don't read your Bible and you don't have a strong belief system. And then he talks about boasting. Ain't none of us worth anything. And why would you even boast for a moment? You know, God's done some great things. You know, I want to remind you about the offering coming up next week. You know what? If we'll do right, we'll probably see this building paid off. And Jared Green will go out to the bank June 1st and pay the debt off. And you said, boy, I bet you when you come on the 14th and burn the note, you're going to be bragging. Well, I ain't going to be bragging about me. I am thankful for you being faithful. But I tell you who I'm going to give all the glory to. I'm going to give the glory to God. Because this church is a miracle. What is happening in this church is a miracle, Brother Jared. It ain't a man thing. It's not a John Smith thing. It's not a John Smith staff thing. It's not a deacon thing. It's a God thing. Then Brother James talks about our burdens. I want you to know burdens are going to fall on the children of God. They'll come in different types. Peter called them manifold temptations or many-colored. And by the way, how you handle them will prove whether you're mature or immature. If your burden makes you bitter, you're immature. If your burden makes you better, you're mature. Somebody praise him. Thank God. I tell you what happens. We get burdened down. And we want to dump it all. We just want to dump it all. Come on now. I want to say this to you. It is too late to become spiritually mature once you get into your burden. I'll give you some advice. You better be mature before the trouble comes, or the trouble is going to engulf you. The trouble is going to annihilate you. The trouble is going to swoop you up. Amen. Thank God. Tell you what happens is we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to pay the price to pray, to trust God. So we saw last week a healthy patience. We talked about staying power. We talked about a sighted prospect. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing things happening. That's, I think, getting ready to usher in the coming of the Lord. I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Then we saw a supposed prospect. Thank God we know it's coming. And then we got a strong position. We're established. We're not tossed to and fro. And we noticed last week a sufficient possession. We don't grudge. It said, grudge not. Word grudge means moaning and groaning. I wonder how many of you are burdened. And all you're doing is moaning and groaning and fooling around. And all people see is a big baby, a crybaby. Spiritually, you got your thumb in your mouth and you're whining and complaining when God has been so good to you. Now let's continue. I want you to notice in verse number 10, hallelujah, the steadfast predecessors. See, they've been some people, some children of God. Look at verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Well, hallelujah. See, there's some people that came before. Now, I'm going to mosey down for a minute. I'm going to make an illustration. I'm going to illustrate Jared Green. I'll just come down and look him at in his face. Jared, you've got to be able to know you can look back at some steadfast predecessors. How about your mama Blake? You are what you are because of her who had your mama and instilled the promises of God in her. And how about Papa Blake? He's the one that got our soul winning to where it is today. See, you got steadfast predecessors. Some of you whiners, you got to know some. There's some people that have already been through it. And I wonder why in God's name you can't look back at them and know they made it, and you can make it too. Am I preaching? Whoa, glory. Hallelujah. Let's look at what James says there in verse number 10 about our steadfast predecessors. Look what he said. Take my brethren, the prophets. He's talking about the speaking prophets. They were prominent. Men like Isaiah, men like Amos, men like Jeremiah, Zechariah, Jesus the prophet. the speaking prophets, they were prominent. But even though they were prominent, they still had problems. And they still had burdens. Amen. And I want you to know something. A lot of us want to look at pleasure much more than to look at pressure. All those prominent prophets, can I tell you something? They were faced with pressure. You said, why can't I be a prophet? I'll tell you why you can't be a prophet or a leader or an example. It's simple. You don't like pressure, and you're a whiner, and you're a complainer. Somebody help me. Now you can't be an Amos who had the plumb bob, because you don't want to be a man of sorrows like him. And you don't want to be an Isaiah who prophesied the Lord's coming, because you know what happened to him? He got sawed in half. And you don't want to be a Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, all he was known for is weeping. And you sure don't want to be a Jesus, because they crucified him. Amen. Here's what some of you think. Well, if I had more clout, I'd be more content. Or if I have more popularity and more prestige. If I just had your position, Pastor Smith. Well, come on, Buster Brown, and try my position. Come on, Buster Brown. If that's what you think you want, you may get it and not want it. Somebody help me preach. You know, I'll tell you what, you just want stuff. You want pleasure, but you don't want pressure. You're a whole lot like Solomon. At the end of his life, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he had gained fame, he had women, he had wine, he had wealth. But he said, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. See, here's your problem. You think you have to have things to be happy. I got to be honest with you. I just took a little thought back in memory lane. When Marguerite and I came to Taze Valley Baptist Church, Jared, we were poor, like the old saying is Job's turkey. We were poor. I came here by faith. They cut half my salary's cut in half. She got laid off from her job. I was making $800 a month here. Church couldn't pay me enough to live. I knew it coming into it. You said, why in the world you come down here? Because I believe where God guides, he provides. I was mature enough to believe that he would take care of me. Somebody help me preach. But can I tell you about that experience? That might have been the most happy time of my life. We didn't have anything, but you know, we didn't know we was poor. We felt like everybody else the same as we were. We didn't know we was poor. I'll be honest with you, we were rich, actually, because we were rich in the Lord. Well, glory. See, don't let your life consist of having to have joy from having things. By the way, this pandemic is about to take everything away. And I'll give you some more advice. Don't look at your stock portfolio. I ain't looking at it. Don't look at where you're at financially right now, because we're all a mess. But we can be content because we know Jesus. And we had to speak in prophets as an example. But I want to show you a second example in verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, There's nothing greater than a happy Christian who, despite their circumstances, is enjoying God's grace. Somebody praise him. Because we count them happy which endure. Listen to this. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Well, hallelujah. You know what happened to Job, Jared? He went from the top to the bottom like that. And you don't know when the bottom is going to fall out of your life. You could go right from the top and hit the bottom that quickly. Amen. His barns were burned. His money was gone. His kids were dead. His wife was mocking him. And he had three pharisaical friends that mocked him. Yet the Bible said he feared God and eschewed evil. He hated sin. What an example of Brother Job of suffering. I tell you what he knew though, Jared. I'm about ready to get happy right here. You know what he said? He said, I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand on the earth in the last day. Job's the oldest book in the Bible, written before Genesis. Somebody help me. And he knew about his Redeemer. You know what made him happy? Jesus. You know what would be good for some of you? Instead of you being so caught up in all your toys, why don't you get caught up in Jesus? Why don't you start enjoying Jesus? Woo! He had them boils he was scraping and said, oh, how I love Jesus. Had a wife that said, curse God. And he said, oh, how I love Jesus. Friends who made fun of him and mocked him. And he said, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, people say stupid things when you get sick. Somebody say amen. Now, come on now. I remember when I come back from Mexico and got the amoeba dysentery. Well, there's some people in my church and in the community said, well, what'd he do wrong? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. It was just God's purpose that I go through it. Hello? And I remember people want to tell you everything. When I first got this heart atrial fib, I had people say to me, don't go to the doctor. Don't take all them pills. Don't get a pacemaker. Hold a minute. Don't you think it was God who made doctors and made medicine? And I want you to know something. I take about 20 pills a day. God's using them to keep me alive. Hello? And that's all right. I'm glad. And I'm not bitter. I'm better. Whew. Then I see a sure product. Look at verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen of the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. Whew. Enduring people are happy people. People that are going through struggles and burdens and living victorious are happy people. Glory to God. Unlike Lot, who thought he wanted to leave Abraham, and he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had a wife that turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. She went from Sodom to Sodom and had girls that committed incest with him. But not Job. Job had a sure product. Then in verse 11, I see sovereign pity. Oh, I like this. Look what it says. This ought to make some of you happy. The Bible said that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Woo! God knows how to pity us. Our pity is sympathy. God's pity is mercy. Weeping, endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Whoopee! Hallelujah! Praise God! Let me show you something in Psalm 103. Let me see if I can get over there without. Pretty easy here. Psalm 103. Let me show you something. This is good stuff here. Show you how God pities us and loves us. Look at verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Vertically, God's mercy is high. But listen to this in verse 12. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Not only is God's pity vertical, but Jared, it's horizontal. Our sins are going from the east is to the west, and you just keep traveling. Somebody help me preach. Thank God. You know, the bad thing is we'll say anything under pressure and we'll do anything. But let me give you a second point of the message. Lord, I've been preaching a lot. We had a healthy patience. But I want you to look here at verse number 12. I want you to notice a hasty pledge. The Bible said, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Praise God. What did you tell God when you were broken sick? What did you vow to God when you were at your bottom and you're not doing right now? Notice, first of all, a swearing avoidance. You got to avoid swearing. You know, a lot of people make decisions by emotion. Come on! Emotional decisions. And then when trouble comes, they say, I didn't sign up for that. Help me preach. Come on now. Oh, I'll be with you unto death. That's what some people say. I used to have a guy come to church here. He's about half moron. He sat right there in the third row. Got up on a Sunday morning, told me how much he loved me, said he'd take a bullet for me. Now, he lied. And by the way, I don't believe any of you I'm preaching to is going to take a bullet for me. And I want you to know I don't want to hurt your feelings. I ain't going to take one for you either. Hello? Come on now. Then I say, see a straightforward avowal. Look at verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. Listen to this. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Let your yea be nay. Yea, and your nay, nay. See, spiritual mature people are people, Jared, that keep their word. They have a straightforward avowal. They keep their word. Come on now. There's some people, you can't count on them, they're late all the time. Come on. I know what you're saying. Well, I was emotional when I made that decision. Well, you ought not make this decision out of emotion. Somebody help me preach. Some of you made a vow you're going to sing in the choir. Why aren't you faithful when they have choir practice? Hello? Some of you, come on, am I preaching? Said that you're going to be a soul winner. When's the last time you passed out a track? Some of you said, I'm going to live right. And you're not living right. Some of you said, I'm going to tithe. And you're not tithing. Come on. See, I want to tell you something. Here's the process. God wants you to grow. God wants you to glow. And God wants you to go. Grow. Maturity. Glow. That's what happens when you grow. You glow. And then you go. Somebody help me preach. Let me ask you a question. Are you faltering under pressure? Oh, come on now. You've made some hasty pledges. Oh, you said, God, I'm going to do this, and God, I'm going to do that. And God, oh boy, when you got sick, you said, man, I'm going to follow through, and you didn't follow through. You collapsed under pressure, and now you look foolish. Don't come to God with emotion, just emotionalism. Come to God in the fact that you know he'll take care of you. And you're going to make a vow, and you're going to keep it, and you're going to live for God. I'll tell you something. When I got saved, I told God I'd do anything he wanted me to do. I started out by cleaning a classroom in a Sunday school classroom. 6 months later, he called me to preach. 47 years later, I'm still preaching. I've kept my vow. I stay by my word. How about you? Have you been this way, up and down, in and out, and nobody can count on you? You know why? I don't want to upset you. You know why? You're immature. You know why? You're so callous about things. God help you. God help you to get into Scripture. Grow up. Grow up. You know what this pandemic's doing? It ought to make you realize you need God and you grow up. Then unsaved person, here's a bad thing. Even though you're lost, you're going to have burdens too. You're going to have bills. You're going to be broken. You're going to have sickness. And you're going to have pain. But here's the problem. Christians have somebody to lean on. And you don't have anybody. I'm praying right now that you cast your burden of sin unto God. See yourself a sinner. See that Christ died for you. Ask him into your life. And let him save you and redeem you. And your life will be so great. And you'll find out that he'll be your burden better. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Thank God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you're a burden bearer. Thank you you love us. Thank you for this series so far. It's been so helpful. Now bless us now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.